Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. In this episode, boy, do we have a treat for you guys. We have a fun Mock Draft Monday format where Connor and I going back and forth, snake draft format to the death. Okay, maybe not to the death, but a lot of pride on the line here, drafting the best position groups in the NFL. So it's team building format. Essentially, I'm trying to build a team based off of NFL team position groups, and Connor's trying to do the same. We're going to go back and forth with our picks to make it fair. So what we're basically doing is, okay, I am picking an offensive line from one certain team. This team's offensive line. They're going to be my offensive line. Connor's going to pick, okay, I'm taking this defensive line from this certain team. It's going to be a great way for us to give out some shout-outs to some of the best position groups in the NFL. What we're doing, we're trying to form the best teams possible to go head-to-head against one another. We're also including head coaches, offensive coordinators, and defensive coordinators with a fun twist on some regulations that will challenge our team building expertise. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm Trevor. That's Connor. Let's ring the bell. Welcome to the opening bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That is Connor Rogers here with you on a beautiful Monday morning where we are once again firing up the creative mock draft formats here. Today we are drafting position groups in the NFL against each other. So we thought that this would be a really fun way to highlight some of the best groups in the NFL, because we know you guys love talking about that stuff during the offseason. And now we're putting a draft flavor on it. So Connor and I are going to try to form the best teams using position groups, drafting position groups. So not like singular players, like I'm drafting an entire team's offensive line, or Connor's drafting an entire team's defensive line, and we're going to make starting lineups to go head-to-head against each other. We're also going to throw in head coaches, defensive coordinators, and offensive coordinators as well. Connor, I feel like I said, this is a fun way to highlight some of the best groups in the NFL, really give a shout-out to some of these teams and some of the fans that root for them.
Absolutely, and it's got some game show element to it, too, where there are rules. You cannot draft from the same franchise twice, so if you... Listen, we know what it is. There's powerhouses in the NFL right now. You can't double dip into that well. So if we pass on a certain group somewhere and you go, man, I wouldn't have done that, think about the future pick that could be in play from that team. The second thing that's really, really important here, this is not dynasty-style drafting. This
right.
is the style of drafting of we're in a backyard, sandlot style, and Trevor and I are pitting these two teams together for one game against each other. So it is in the now. It's not, I think this group will develop in 3 years and I'll have a super stacked corner group. This is for a game today. And as Trevor said, off air before the show, a really good Madden style phrase, injuries off. So
yes,
injuries
correct.
Off. So this is
correct.
Just all about talent in the exact moment in these position groups with a little strategy element to it as well.
I'm like sweating doing research for this here.
Research for a show in months, by the way.
Because there's so much strategy involved of like, what position group are you going to go after first? Like, can you pick this team? Because then you won't be able to pick any other unit, right?
That's the hardest part.
The best teams in the NFL, and we're going to be able to give a shout out to a lot of the best teams in the NFL throughout this entire exercise. But the strategy of, okay, which unit do you want to pick from some of the better teams? And honestly, dude, like, it might not even be the best unit on that team. You're just trying to get strategic with it. Like, okay, this is the best position group from this team and how it's going to flow with the team. So, man, this is like you say, this is the most research that I feel like I've done for a topic on this podcast. So I cannot wait for it to hysterically crash and burn in my face 20 minutes into this bad boy.
I don't think we'll get stuck too much today. We do have those moments on a lot of the draft format Monday shows where we get stuck. I think this one, with the amount of research we've done, and the fact is, when something comes off the board, I don't know. I say that now. We'll see.
Oh, we're gonna. It's gonna go completely off the rails like 5 minutes into this thing.
So we'll go snake style in order. The categories for everybody at home, if you want to follow along and tally what you would do in the moment, you can gladly do that. So your categories you're gonna want to write down are quarterback, running backs, pass catchers. So that is wide receivers and tight ends looped together.
Tricky.
Offensive line. On the defensive side of the ball, D-line. So your edge rushers and interior D-line are looped together. Your off-ball linebackers, cornerbacks, and then safeties. So secondary is not a group. Corners and safeties are separated. And then you can draft. You get to draft a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and a defensive coordinator. Sorry, special teams. You didn't make the cut for this show. We'll promise not to do you dirty like that in the future.
You know what we didn't talk about before the show? Do coaches apply to the you can't pick a team twice?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely. This is why this is it's a lot harder than people are going to realize.
Oh, no.
So we will be taking from.
I have a handful of options, but.
11. So over a third of the NFL for each of us will be included in this show. Now, you and I. Like, if you take someone from a team, I could still take something else from that team. But we can't double dip
ourselves.
You
can. I can't. Right. Yep. I don't think if we were to get that savage with it.
It would start to get, like, really ugly.
We'd be running out of teams and players.
Yeah. And then PFF would, like, post the graphic of what the teams look like. And people would tweet at us and be like, these guys are morons. How are they employed? So we do have to be a little careful there.
Yeah, self-preservation is important for us here on this podcast.
We are the two kings of self-preservation.
You guys haven't learned that by now. You guys are out here in these social media streets coming at our necks if we don't
It's June. We haven't even done an NFL season for this show yet.
But that's why we love you. We love you guys because you've got opinions and you're ready to fire them off. Well, before we get this draft started, I got to read everybody's favorite ad copy. It's our friends over at Manscaped. Gentlemen, talking to you. All men strive for gold in their life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, gold everything. However, there is a certain type of man who goes the extra mile. He walks in the confidence of an eagle and giggles in the face of danger. He is a big, hairless, winning machine. And when he unzips his pants, he sees platinum. That is right. Manscaped would like to introduce to you their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0. Manscaped is the leader in below the waist grooming. Now you can trust them with the whole shebang. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping using the promo code PFF. Manscaped's brand new Platinum Package 4.0 is the biggest bundle that they have ever offered, giving you a bulk discount on Manscaped's top product. 20% off free shipping using that promo code PFF at manscaped.com. That is 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the promo code PFF. It's time you enjoy the finer things in life and get you a platinum package for your platinum package. See what we did there, Connor?
I like it. We got to keep this boat moving.
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Either way, up to you. I feel like I often do choose, so this time I'm going to let you choose.
Okay, well,
keep things fair on this show.
Then I'm gonna have you go first. I'm gonna counter here. So the second that we had this topic nailed down, I was wondering what you were gonna go with first, where your mind, because that's almost half the fun of this exercise. We get into debates of who you should have picked where, or I'm going to pick this position group.
But we don't know.
But it's, I don't know. I can do my own research on what I think about the NFL players and about the NFL head coaches. I can't do my own research on what you're going to pick. So my entire strategy will actually go off of where you are going to start here. I'll let you go first, and then I get back to back on the snake draft format.
So first, and we're starting with quarterback. For everyone wondering, We're not going to randomly go over the board, right? Or do you want to go over the board?
No, you could randomly go all over the board.
Okay, I like that.
That's what I'm doing. We're not starting with quarterback. You can take whatever position you want to first. So that's why the strategy is huge here. You can try to one up me on a position that you think is super weak that has one good team at the top, or you could try to steal a different kind of position group that maybe you think that I'm going to go for first. So you want to block me because you know how I pick. No, we're going all over the board. You have the freedom to pick whatever group you want in any order you want.
Wow. This is truly fascinating.
Correct.
Right now.
Correct.
Now
the sweat has begun to pour.
Here we go. It's
I put my AC
off.
Down 5 degrees just for this podcast because I knew I was going to start sweating.
Oh man,
we got on the clock.
I should have done the same because now I'm already torn. I was like, we won't get stuck today. We're stuck on the first overall pick. All right, so you know what? Surprisingly for me, I am gonna go quarterback, and I'm gonna take Josh Allen. And there's some stuff in play here. For me, most importantly, the Bills are an awesome team, and they have a lot. The Bills are fascinating to me. They have almost every position team you can argue is probably in like the top five.
They do have
of
a really
the NFL.
Good team. Yeah,
but besides quarterback, there was no position group that I was like, I have to have that. So I knew I'd only have the temptation to really dip from the Bills roster once, and I wanted to get Josh Allen. Where the other elite quarterbacks play, I didn't feel that way. There was something else about their roster that I really, really wanted elsewhere besides quarterback. So this isn't me saying Josh Allen is the most valuable position group, including coaches in the entire NFL. He's got an argument that he's pretty dang close.
Right.
He's pretty dang close. It's a conversation. But there was more layers to this pick as well.
Man, you know, you say that, and the Bills do have obviously one of the best teams in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. And it is spearheaded by their quarterback for sure. But there is one position group that I do think is top of their class that I'm not going to pick now because I don't have to pick it because I know you're not going to because you can't pick the Bills anymore. So we will get to that. We will get to that explanation. I think I already have one of my position groups filled out. For my first pick, this seems lame, but I have to go with it. And I asked you whether the coaching stipulation for the teams also counted, and you said yes.
Yeah.
So I've got to go with Bill Belichick here.
That was – okay. So I'm glad that you did that. This goes into our back-and-forth thing we do during rankings. That's what this was down to for me. I was either going to take Bill Belichick first, you know, not to give too much away, but like – there wasn't a lot that excited me about New England's roster for this exercise.
Right.
But obviously Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest head coach of all time.
GOAT.
Was where it was like, okay, if I get Belichick, I got something from a team that I didn't need anything anywhere else. So that was really cool. That's what it was down to for me, the number one pick, and that's the first two picks of the entire exercise. Man. So now head coach is done.
Yeah,
all right.
Head coach is done for me, and New England is done for me. And I agree with you 100%. I wrote down a list of teams, and you know, some people would say like, okay, well, you're on your research, you're going to list at least like two teams because if Connor takes one, you get the other. But I think it was a little bit deeper than that for me. I wrote a handful of teams that I would be comfortable with, or at least excited about picking for every position group, because I also wanted to weigh, hey, like, is there one team that really stands out for me in a certain position group where they're nowhere else on my list? It happened to be that the Patriots were not. Like, I really was not jazzed about taking the Patriots in any other spot other than Bill Belichick being by far number one for me in the head coach rankings. These are the good head coaches to get. I know Connor's going to pick a good one. He's going to get a good one. But, yeah, that was that's
strategy.
Gonna be my pick there.
Absolutely. Okay. So my next pick here, I'm going to stay on the offensive
side. Whoa. Snake draft format.
Oh, back-to-back. My bad.
Snake draft format.
My bad.
My guy.
All right.
Snake draft format.
All right.
He's trying to steal my picks out here, folks.
All right.
There's so many different ways I could go with this.
Yeah, I'm not like, I would have been mad if this was later in the, not mad, but like nervous later in the draft. No matter what you do, I feel good this early on. There's a lot of elite options out there.
There's a lot of elite options out here. Oh, man. This league is so talented. It's so good. I'm going with the Browns offensive line. I got to go with the Browns offensive line. It's there's a lot of good offensive lines. I get it. But, dude, Jedrick Wills, Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, and now they have Nick Harris, yep, the center, getting in for J.C. Treader. I mean, like, that whole cohesive unit is fantastic. There's a lot of good offensive lines to choose from. I guess it doesn't exactly matter because I already chose offensive line, but like Detroit's offensive line is fantastic with the amount of draft picks and the free agency capital they've invested in theirs. The Bucs is obviously very good. The Eagles as well. Big shout out to them. But I think that Cleveland, when you look at that group, again, compared to some of the other areas that I would draft the Cleveland Browns, their offensive line is the one that I want. When I look at one of the best rosters in the NFL in Cleveland, it really is. That's the one that stands out to me. You got five offensive linemen that are badasses. They're going to be able to play their ass off for you, that are championship caliber. So I'm going to go Browns offensive line here as my first position unit pick after Bill Belichick there.
So that would have been one of my picks because I picked back to back here. So my first pick, no matter what you did, praying that you didn't do this, I was taking the Bengals pass catchers because we know all about Ja'Marr Chase. We know all about T. Higgins. Both guys went over 1,000 yards last year.
Yep.
Tyler Boyd almost had 1,000 yards. This is the rare wide receiver trio, and I know they lost C.J. Uzama in free agency to the Jets, so their tight end group isn't, you know, something that you'd jump for joy with.
They got Hayden Hurst. I mean,
it's fine. It doesn't need to be. They don't need to invest more in that area. Right. They basically have 3,000-yard wide receivers, and there's not teams that could – other teams can't say that. So I loved the Bengals pass-catching group. This was my surefire second pick. Now, I would have taken the Browns offensive line here. Absolutely. That's where I would have gone as well, because I think
It's good to know. The strat worked then.
It's about distinguishing groups, and the Browns are a distinguished offensive line. There's a lot of, like you said, good groups, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
You're projecting, things change year to year. Jedrick Wills needs to stay healthy. They have a new center, but that Browns group is it's a pretty special one up front. All right. So I have Josh Allen throwing to the Bengals pass catchers.
That's pretty sick. I'm not gonna lie.
It's pretty fun to think about.
Yep.
Now it gets kind of interesting. I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to start to look on the defensive side of the ball because you already took offensive line, so I'm not going to rush that way. I'm not going to rush to running back right now. Man, this one was really, really hard for me, but I am going to take the Ravens safeties.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that nobody is three deep like this team. There's a lot of good duos. Nobody is three deep like this team. Marcus Williams, a pretty rare skill set to play free.
Yep.
Chuck Clark, a really underrated player in this league.
Dude, they're four deep. Dude, they're like five deep.
And then Kyle Hamilton's your Swiss Army. So I know that might surprise people, that being my third overall pick in this draft, but I don't really see a group like that has that diversified of a skill set plus talent. So Baltimore safety group, I valued them much differently than everybody else's safeties because it's three special players compared to two.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're getting super deep play there from the Baltimore Ravens. There's no doubt about it. And then, like, the Bengals, you're right. I don't think I was going to take wide receiver early in this draft. It obviously depended. I was pretty comfortable letting you take wide receiver because even though the Bengals are at the very top, there's no doubt about it. There are a lot of really great pass catching groups. And I think the same can be said with all position groups. So I won't try to sound like a broken record there, but the Bengals were a great choice. And then the Ravens, there were a couple of different choices for the Ravens. You picking the Ravens though means that you don't get John Harbaugh as a head coach. So
nope,
he was in my top three, if you will. So
no hate there. He's been awesome, and he's been awesome for a really, really long time quietly. But I circled that group as one I had to have.
Back to back picks here. All right. Man, there's such.
The frustration. It's a frustrating exercise.
So you picked pass catchers, right? And you picked the Bengals, which means pass catcher is wide open for me. But what position group I take now will go into that, because – everybody and their mother knows that I want to take the Bucks. Everybody and their mother knows that I, in my heart, want to take the Bucks pass catchers, right? Injuries are off. So we're talking about Russell Gage. We're talking about Chris Godwin. We're talking about Mike Evans. And even without Rob Gronkowski, you've got Cameron Brate in there, who is a good tight end as well. But there's another group with the Bucks that I want.
There is. There is one that they're distinguished.
I got to take the Bucks linebackers.
Okay.
I got to do it.
Was this the group when we were hanging before the show that you looked at and you're like, oh, this position groups are across the NFL are not very good?
It was not, actually.
Okay, it was for me.
That was not the one that I made with a grimacing face. And there is another team at linebacker that I would have been comfortable taking. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I'm not comfortable with you getting the Bucks pass catcher. I'm not comfortable with you getting the Bucks linebackers here because Lavonte David and Devin White are so damn good. Say whatever you will about Devin White, how he's not the best linebacker in coverage. I don't want to say that it doesn't matter, but he gets to play next to one of the all-time greatest linebackers that have played the game. And I truly believe that with Lavonte David. Now, okay, guys, I'm not saying that he's better than Derek Brooks. I'm not saying that he's better than Lawrence Taylor or linebackers like that. But in my opinion, there's no doubt about it. Lavonte David should be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he gets in there one day because he hasn't had the career recognitions, but what that guy has done for the last 10 years in Tampa has been unbelievable. He has incredible awareness, incredible leadership. He's fantastic in coverage. He's great in run defense. He sees plays before they even happen. He's one of the best linebackers in the NFL, plain and simple. And his presence allows Devin White to do what he does best, play so free, play so athletic. So I got to go with the Bucks linebackers there, even though it really pains me now that I'm not going to be able to get the Bucks pass catchers. I think I have to go with the linebacker group. You said you thought that this group was pretty light.
Did not like this group. Did not like this group.
So I'm curious who you're going to take over the Bucks, because if that was the only one that you were really thinking of.
When we get there, I'm going to present both teams that I was down to that I was going to take over the Bucks, which might surprise you. And it was like, it's a three-man race. Once again, it didn't. This position group did not excite me, unfortunately. It's definitely one that you can highlight singular players over and over again, but when you look at groups, it's like they're like, I get what you're saying though with Lavonte, obviously injuries off, and Devin White when he's playing at his ceiling, you know, those two, we've seen them win a Super Bowl, so it makes a lot of sense and be a big part of that Super Bowl run. So you still have another pick in a row here. We both addressed the defense a smidge in round two.
The only group that we have left open yet collectively, well, we have defensive line, we have corner, and we have running back that neither of us have addressed.
and both coordinators, which don't sleep on it.
No, it matters. That part matters. Part definitely matters. Okay, corners. I think I'm gonna go with the Saints corners. You get Marshawn Lattimore, you get Paulson Adebo, who I thought had a good rookie year, and you also get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to play the slot.
Yep,
which I think is totally really fair. Important. Hold on, let me look at one other team.
Oh, let me look. Write it in ink, folks.
No, I think I'm going with the Saints. I said I think I'm going with the Saints. God, I think I gotta stick with the Saints. I'm gonna stick with the Saints. I like those three options. There were a lot of really great corner groups in the NFL that didn't have a super strong slot. And I can obviously just say it now. The Packers were another one that I was looking at. I couldn't look at the Bucks cornerback group because I just picked their linebackers. The Packers were another group that I was looking at there. Because you have Jair, you have Eric Stokes. But then Rasul Douglas is the other corner.
He was good last year. I know he's bounced around.
And it was kind of a toss up between me there. I'm just a sucker for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson playing the slot. And I do think Marshawn Lattimore can be one of the best corners in the outside corners in the NFL. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Saints. Officially, we can write in pen. I'm gonna go with the Saints cornerback group here.
Man, no argument for me there. All right. So you doubled up on defense.
I did. I did indeed.
It's kind of, this is going, you know, how you and I are the ultimate counterpunchers when we do this exercise. We did it with the 25 and under teams. We've done it every time when you try to build teams head to head. We just counterpunch. We have to trail. We never trail.
Listen, yeah. No, there's no need to do that.
You have like a coach and a defense. I don't have a coach really or much of a defense, but I just have an air raid.
You got no leadership.
I have an air raid offense.
Yeah, right now you do.
I'm a classic Big 12 school right now. No leadership, air raid offense. We're just scoring 80 million points. All right. So we're going to keep that train going. I am going to take the Colts running backs right here.
Okay. Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. Well,
but you know what? Dude. When I did the running back situation, I was like, man, who the hell cares, right?
Right, right.
The only thing I cared about was getting from a team that I wouldn't want something else from. So wanting the Browns offensive line, I was like, I'm not going to take, you know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt or whatever it is, as good as they are. You know, once again, wanting certain things, you eliminate other teams. The Colts for me, Jonathan Taylor, my opinion, the best running back in the NFL right now. Naheem Hines. They quietly have Philip Lindsay as their third stringer.
They do indeed.
And they got Devontae Price as an undrafted free agent. I thought was a top 200 player in the draft. They are so deep at running back, but the most important thing is they have a superstar talent in Jonathan Taylor and a pass catcher in Naheem Hines.
Yep.
So obviously I love the Colts running backs, and
it's good.
Most importantly, this was one of two groups, non-coaching groups, that you and I haven't touched yet. We had not touched the running backs, so obviously we're gonna round that out here. I am not going to take a coordinator. I'm going to go to the last group that we have not touched, and that is defensive line.
Okay, I'm very curious to who you are going to
lead
the charge with here on defensive line. So I'll give some transparency for everybody who's listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who's watching on YouTube. When we got on Zoom before we hit record, I asked Connor, I was like, do you want to do defensive line straight up, or do you want to separate it edge rusher and interior defensive lineman? Because I had originally set it up for it being split edge rusher and interior defensive lineman. I said to myself, oh, okay, I got the strategy down easy. This is going to be great. And Connor was like, no. It takes way more strategy to do it full D-line. And I agree with him completely, but it's more of a bitch. It is more of a bitch here with this pick. So who you got?
Man, it's brutal, right? I actually don't think this pick is going to upset you. I think I know where you're going here. But for me, and this was brutal. This was so brutal. But for me, I couldn't pass on what the Chargers have.
Okay.
Injuries off. Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa.
Yep.
And I do not care about anything else. Now, once again, I don't think this would upset... Like, this was a group. The only reason I'm picking this group is because it's the last one from player groups that we haven't touched yet. This was a group that, honestly, I probably would have waited the entire draft to do if it took that long, which it did. This is the last player group we had. You can argue for the Bills with Von Miller now. You can go a lot of directions with this thing. You have the Raiders combo and Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. The one that I honestly really wanted to take, but it was such a hot take that I didn't want to be that guy on the show, was the Steelers, which is kind of interesting. I with Watt, now Ogunjobi, Cam Hayward, and then the other edge, in my opinion, I think Highsmith's going to have a monster year. That was the deepest group I wanted to take, and a lot of people would probably counter-argue and say, no, the Bills, or no. So the Steelers were the team I was going to take if you took the Chargers first, which I didn't think you'd do. Niners in consideration, but the Chargers for me, if Max stays healthy in this exercise, it doesn't matter. It does, the injuries are off. I don't think there's a better pass rush duo in the NFL than Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. If you don't have a really good tackle on both sides, I don't know how you block those guys all day long. So I valued that duo over the front four that is the Steelers, that I think is quietly an awesome group. And I don't see people looking at them that way this year for some reason.
Well, it's not going to be quiet because that's going to be the group that I picked. Yeah. But
I thought you would go with the Bills, oddly enough, but
no,
I'm glad you're going with the Steelers.
I have other plans for the Bills. I have
and that's what comes into play.
Oh,
once again,
plans for the Buffalo Bills.
That's what comes into play.
Right.
Is that you can't double up.
So that was your two, right? You went Chargers and Colts, right?
I went Chargers and Colts.
You went Chargers and Colts. Okay. The only two spots that we have left are offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator that we both have open. So I'm going to knock those two out right now. I got to do it.
Okay.
Especially because if you take one of these guys and I'm about to take, it screws me over with picks that I want to make for position group players. So I've got to be smart here.
I've got to
get ahead of the curve. Offensive coordinator. It's funny because PFF just caught a lot of shit earlier, I think a week ago for this pick, but I'm going to go with Kellen Moore. I'm going to go with Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, who I think is a fantastic young offensive coordinator. I think he is working super well with all those offensive weapons, the offensive line, Dak Prescott, all those receiver options. He did a fantastic job of essentially doing the most. Now, look, is he perfect? And a lot of people pointed out when our own Eric Eager, who I love Eric, I really do. He came out with a position or a offensive coordinator play caller rankings last week. And the way that he came up with it was essentially how well are offensive coordinators performing, not only just output wise, but efficiency wise above expectation. So essentially, if you have a good quarterback, if you have good wide receivers at your disposal as offensive coordinators, guess what? We expect a lot of points. So are you living up to that? Are you exceeding that? While are you also being very efficient in what you do? Kellen Moore graded out really well in both those areas. Eric had Kellen Moore as the number two play caller in the NFL. He had him above guys like Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Byron Leftwich, guys like that. And obviously it got people very heated because those are head coaches that have been around a long time and they've gotten their well-deserved praise as well. But I do think that the hate that selection got went a little too far because this is, I think, one of the best play callers in the NFL. And Kellen Moore still took some lumps last year, and he was stumped a little bit by a handful of defense coordinators, but I think that he's certainly going to learn from that. I think he's one of the brightest minds that we have as an assistant coach here in the league. And so I got to go with him because I wasn't about to pick any other group for the Dallas Cowboys in this draft. So had to get Kellen Moore there because there's another offensive coordinator pick that that I would not have been able to make because of a player selection that I'm going to make here. So I'm going to go with Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. And then I'm going to go with Raheem Morris as my defensive
Love that pick.
Raheem Morris, folks, should have gotten a head coach gig. I really feel like he should have. When he was, and this is the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, obviously coming off a Super Bowl, I'm not going to pick a group from the Los Angeles Rams either. So that's a little bit strategic, but it worked out perfectly because I think that Raheem Morris is, just like Kellen Moore, one of the best assistant coaches in the game right now, obviously as the Super Bowl to go along with it, what he's been able to do with that Rams secondary. I think certainly Aaron Donald's production speaks for itself. That guy was going to go off no matter what, but what he's been able to do in that secondary with so many different secondary players over the last couple of years has been fantastic. I think he gets screwed over by getting an early head coaching gig before he was ready with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I kind of know the backstory about all that, how he was a little bit of a scapegoat after the Gruden era down in Tampa Bay. And they kind of had him as a shoot. I think he was like 31 years old, 32 years old when he got that head coach gig. And he went from a defensive backs coach to that head coach spot. And it was way too big of a jump too early for him. And like I said, he was basically this scapegoat head coach where they didn't want to spend money because Gruden had spent so much money on free agents for the last 8 years. And of course it won a Super Bowl at the beginning, but then they were getting tired of paying all these high priced veterans. And they basically gave Raheem Morris the youngest, cheapest team possible. And 1 year he won 10 games. And a story that I heard behind the scenes is that Raheem Morris went to front office and the owners and said, "I will never be able to do that again with the roster that you guys are giving me right now." And they said, "Too bad. You're going to have to do it again." And so I think that he was screwed a little bit, has been on a little bit of a journey all the way to becoming now one of the best assistant coaches in the NFL. So I'll go with Kellen Moore as my offensive coordinator, and I'll go with Raheem Morris as my defensive coordinator.
I like it. That's one of those times where I can truly say you sniped me. I would have taken Raheem at DC. I love my backup option, so I'm not like super heartbroken, but I definitely a snipe. Love that pick. So, I mean, since the order doesn't really matter here, I guess we'll just transition right there.
Yeah, now we can fire. Now we can truly fire from the hip, Terminator style.
Yeah, while still being very conscious of not doubling up or screwing yourself. That's
you just yeah.
Thing.
Now it's you versus the man in the mirror.
Yes, exactly. So for me at DC, I'm going with D'Amico Ryans.
That's a great
pick. From the 49ers.
Great pick.
I mean, everyone I talk to that has been around D'Amico is at the point where they're like, it's not if he'll be a head coach, it's that he'll have the clout to pick the right job. Right. That's how good D'Amico Ryans is. He's 37. He's one of the best defensive minds in the entire NFL right now already. And more importantly, when you're looking at the transition to head coach, he is one of the more up-and-coming leaders of men in the NFL as well. Obviously, the track record as a player speaks for itself, going all the way back to Alabama and then in the NFL for a long time. But players really take to him as a coach. So D'Amico Ryans is my DC. Really, really excited about that one. Now, I'll keep this one a little bit more simple. At corner, I am going to go with the Packers here. This is a group that I really like. The well-roundedness of this group. I kind of fought myself here a little bit, Trevor, because there was part of me that was like, man, just take the Rams and you get Jalen Ramsey, right? Because how many teams have a number one corner? And the answer is not many have a true number one. Jalen Ramsey's a pretty special player at the position, but instead I'd rather have the trio of Jaire Alexander, an up-and-comer, and
he's
Eric
so
Stokes.
Jaire's so good.
So good. And Rasul Douglas, who had a fantastic year for them last year. So the Packers for me at corner, a group that, you know, the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Rams were the other teams in contention there. I went the route that I felt gave me the deepest group of the four.
Yeah, I considered the Chargers. I certainly considered the Chargers with that secondary group there. They've, especially when you add J.C. Jackson to Asante Samuel, and they've got Michael Davis. So they have Callahan as well. Don't they have Bryce Callahan too now?
They do.
To play
the
slot. So, I mean, like, that's
it's a really good group.
And shoot, you know, you can, you can't really do this, but, you know, Derwin will play in the slot for him too.
Yeah, you can't. Otherwise, that would have been the pick.
Right. We can't really do that. But Chargers fans out there listening, you have a fantastic secondary and it's a versatile one at that. So that's great there. You mentioned that the Packers were a great choice. I agree with you. D'Amico Ryans as well. The way that people talked about him this past offseason, really does. I think you put it beautifully. It's not an if, it's a when thing with D'Amico Ryans. And he's only 37 years old, but he's got that former player background to him. And it's very clear that he is well-respected within the NFL circles. And I think that he's definitely going to be head coach in due time. But for now, he's going to continue being one of the best assistant coaches in this league. So I'll round out my defense here, since we're not really competing against each other for position groups. Defensive line, I am going with the Steelers. And I had the Steelers, funny enough, as my number one team, no matter what. There were just a couple of other groups that I thought jumping on them was a little bit more important when it came to positions and coaches that were of dire need, because you mentioned how good the Chargers are, how alluring their edge rushers are. But dude, TJ Watt, plain and simple, one of the best edge rushers in the NFL, perhaps the best edge rusher in the NFL.
One of the best defenders in the NFL.
He is unbelievable. Cam Hayward has been one of the best interior defensive linemen for years and is still competing at a very high level. They've got Chris Wormley. They've got Tyson Alulu. You mentioned them having Alex Highsmith as well. Like, there are so many players in that group that you met. Oh, Larry Ogunjobi too. Larry Ogunjobi now with the team.
And as of last week,
that group, you'll love to see it. That group is so solid. It's got the star power and it's got the depth. They were number one on my defensive line group because of that reason. And then safety. This is where we'll talk about safeties. I'm going with the Bills, man.
Okay.
Jordan Poirier and Micah Hyde. I think
great duo.
This is a phenomenal duo. And I think I was very, you know, there are a lot of really nice secondary groups. And clearly you were honing in on the Ravens, and makes complete sense with how deep the Ravens are, no doubt about it. But when you pick Josh Allen, you're like, Josh far and away with these position groups. I was like, man, that's Jordan Poirier and Micah Hyde, I think. But they just play so well together. They have such fantastic chemistry on the back end. I think they are truly a great duo, right? I could have picked the Chargers because I haven't picked any Chargers positions yet. And I could have gotten myself Nasir Adderley and Derwin James. And you get the star power in Derwin James. And that's still, people are going to argue that maybe that was the better move. But the true duo effect of Hyde and Poirier, I think, is a big reason why that defense is as good as it is. That secondary is as good as it is. So I'm going to go with the Bills here to round out my defense. So I got the Steelers defensive line. I got the Bucks linebackers. I got the Saints corners. And I got the Bills safeties as my defense.
All right, so offensive line, you took the Browns, a group that I really, really liked, valued them highly. You took them really, really early. Were they your first overall pick in the draft? Belichick
was. They were my first. They were my first unit.
Okay, so I am going to go with the – and this was kind of a swerve for me because the way things play out, I needed position groups from other teams that I couldn't use their offensive line. So for me, I'm going with the Patriots offensive line, which
– Oh, so you were that high on him.
Quietly.
Okay.
Because I forgot the injuries off rule. Quietly, when New England's offensive line is healthy, Isaiah Wynn – being the very injury good. Guy that matters so much.
Very good.
It's a good group. You know, you have Trent Brown, now Cole Strange, David Andrews, Onwenu.
Cole Strange, baby.
We talk about Onwenu on the show all the time, how much of a talent he is, and Isaiah Wynn. So I like New England's offensive line quite a bit. I don't think they're top three in this exercise, but you'll see where I'm going. Maybe not even top four or five, but I had to borrow from other areas where I thought this was the value play for New England. If I couldn't get Belichick, I do think quietly they still have a really good offensive line. And then I might as well round out the rest of the team before we get into the head coach and offensive coordinator here. Linebacker, this is the only time I did this out of any of these positions.
I'm so curious who you're going to pick here.
I'm taking the Cowboys in this spot.
Okay.
Because
you take Parsons.
Okay. I'm taking Parsons.
Yeah.
And I had to really double check that I can get away with this, but he did play more off the line snaps.
I would have given it to you.
I wanted to be fair. Okay. So he played 500 and about nearly 600 snaps off the line of scrimmage. And he played 390 on the defensive line. So he definitely registers as an off-ball linebacker. You know, Van Der Esch has not been the same player since his rookie season, so it was a group I wasn't really excited about, but as a player, Parsons is a freak show. He's a one-man show.
Truly, yes.
The other group I considered here, but I used them at corner, was Green Bay. You know, Green Bay, for me, I do like the... I like Devondre Campbell a lot, and I think Quay Walker not having to be the guy there playing with Campbell makes them enticing.
Right.
But I like their corner group a lot better. There was a couple of units. I liked the Packers' offensive line. I liked their cornerback group. I liked their quarterback and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And I liked their head coach, all as picks for me. So the Packers are one of the teams I struggled with the most to divvy up what mattered to me, and the linebacker group just lost out by a lot. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys here because Parsons is a truly, truly unique talent in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, they were my super safe pick with the linebacker group. You know what I was... So number two in my linebacker rankings, actually, or maybe not number two, it would have kind of been a toss up. It would have been a game time decision when we were on the clock, was the San Francisco 49ers. You've got Fred Warner and you've got Dre Greenlaw. I really like Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw brings a ton of speed. That was the younger version of the Bucs, the combination that the Bucs have with Devin White and Lavonte David. Like, Fred Warner is just a lot younger than Lavonte is, and Dre Greenlaw, okay, not as impactful as Devin White was, but that same type of athletic linebacker feel where Fred Warner is so damn good in coverage that he gives you that freedom to be able to move about and play fast. And I think that's what Dre Greenlaw does really, really well. So just, I wanted to shout out that group for sure.
And I'm totally with you. I value D'Amico Ryans more than the linebacker.
When you picked Ryans, I was like, okay.
But no, I agree.
No, we can't pick San
Francisco. This is where it gets really interesting. There's a million of these that it's like, can't do this because I did that. Can't do this because I did that. Which I'm really excited to hear from you as you have to fill out quarterback, running back, and pass catchers. Obviously, you could do two of the three right now.
Yep, we'll go pass catchers right now. This one is pretty...
I have no idea what you're going to do, by the way. No idea.
This is pretty easy for me, man.
Okay.
So you pick the Bengals. I can't pick the Bucks because I picked the Bucks linebacker group.
Actually, it is a little easier when I start to look at your groups.
You can guess. You want to guess?
The Raiders?
No. You are missing an obvious one.
All right, fire away.
It's Miami.
I think it's
Miami. It's
they were my number two behind the Bengals. I wrote down because obviously, not only Waddle and Tyreek, but Gesicki is in there.
and Cedric Wilson, dude.
It's a really good group. It's a really good group.
I think Preston Williams is still on the team.
He is, like, and I think he made some plays in OTAs. Right. Where everyone's like, hey, right. Our number five receiver is actually like really good when he's healthy. So
they have Durham Smythe. They have Adam Shaheen. This is a super deep group. This probably would have been my number one pick group no matter what. I think it was going to be a toss up to me between them and the Bucks. But there's so many other places where I could have picked the Bucks. Like, I could have picked the Bucks D-line. I could have picked Shaq Barrett, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, Akeem Hicks, and Vita Vea as a defensive line. I think that would have been really strong. Obviously, you've got linebacker there, the cornerback group, Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis, safeties, Mike Edwards, Antoine Winfield Jr., the offensive coordinator, right? I could have picked Byron Leftwich. There were so many other places where I could have picked the Buccaneers that I was like, okay, I'm probably going to end up with Miami's pass catchers here. So to get them this late in the draft, I'm actually pretty pumped about it. Running back, I'll save the suspense for quarterback is my last pick. Running back, I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers for one name and one name only.
That's all you need.
Christian McCaffrey, and I don't give a damn who's behind him. I know Chuba Hubbard's in there.
Injuries off.
Actually, now I'm looking. Now I got it since they're officially on my team. Who's back? Is somebody in between?
No, Chuba's the backup.
They have Devonta Foreman as well, but I think the Chuba's probably going to be the backup there no matter what. Christian McCaffrey, last time we saw a fully healthy season from him, 1,000 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards. So, I mean, truly one of the best offensive threats in the NFL. I hope that he's fully healthy in this upcoming year. I would absolutely love to see it. But I debated between him and, honestly, Minnesota's with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. That was another one for me. Tennessee, of course, with Derrick Henry. But I wanted a little bit more pass catching, a little bit more speed. So I was opting for Dalvin or Christian McCaffrey. I ended up leaning with Christian McCaffrey here.
So it's funny when you brought up Miami. I did want to sneak this into the show. Because they were my number two wide receiver group, much like you, obviously. Mm-hmm. If I took them, if I was in a little bit of a bind, they were in play at corner. Now, for Miami fans listening and probably wondering, you know, why isn't corner group here? Xavien Howard is a baller. He's a superstar. I do think Byron Jones is still a good player. I think he's quietly been trending downward the last 2 years compared to what he once was. Now, he's still a good player. The third corner situation for me was just like, I gravitated towards Green Bay with, I guess we can cancel out Jair and Xavien Howard. I like where Stokes' ceiling is going. And then the third corner with Rasul Douglas was a runaway. But Miami, I did want to get more of them in the show to explain that they quietly, interestingly enough, like, that's a great training camp battle. Miami's corners against those pass catchers. And I'm glad that you got the Panthers in there as well. That was one that probably gets slept on because McCaffrey is always hurt, but when he's not, he's one of the best players with the ball in his hands in the entire NFL. So, all right, now we're here where I need a head coach and offensive coordinator. You are going to need a quarterback. I have left this door a little bit open where head coach is just so brutal right now because brutal in a good way.
Oh, like, okay. All right.
No.
You made a lot of picks. So I was wondering where you were going with,
but I have not used the Rams and the Chiefs. So this is literally Sean McVay versus Andy Reid, which is pretty insane. So let's save some suspense there. Offensive coordinator, I actually want your opinion on this, and I'm not going to give it to you. I know where I'm going to go without it, but I think a lot of people look at offensive coordinator, and the names that are going to come to their mind are Eric Bieniemy right now because I haven't used the Chiefs, Byron Leftwich because I have not used the Bucks as well. The sleeper cell is Pete Carmichael with the Saints.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
he's been there so long and I haven't used the Saints. And if I use Andy Reid, I can't use Eric Bieniemy. I'm curious, which direction would you go? Would you go the Reid-Carmichael pairing, or would you go the McVay-Bieniemy pairing? It's pretty tricky, right?
I'd go McVay and Bieniemy. I'd go with McVay and Bieniemy.
So that's what I'm going to do, because I think McVay to me is the total package. And nothing against Andy Reid. Andy Reid's incredible.
Right.
It's just, it's easy to gravitate towards the guy that just won a Super Bowl.
McVay getting Josh Allen would be hilarious.
Yeah, it's the fun way to go.
Hilarious.
I mean, so would Andy Reid. I know he's done everything. Mahomes, he has Mahomes. But you're right. Seeing McVay with Josh Allen is actually hilarious. But so it's going to be a Sean McVay. Actually, this is where I was really torn up, was Byron versus Bieniemy. Because it's pretty clear to me at this point that we are going to see Byron as a head coach one day.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever
going to not interview with the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. That's all he needs.
Yeah, whatever went on there. And that relationship has been something for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not really convinced we'll ever see Eric Bieniemy as an NFL head coach at this point. Some things just run its course, and we don't have the reasons on this show, but it's clear from how many years of these interviews that you're seeing that. But Bieniemy has worked under an established offensive head coach for a long time. He's worked with a superstar quarterback in Mahomes, not that Leftwich hasn't. But I just like the pairing here a lot with McVay, Bieniemy. D'Amico Ryan's on
the
defense.
That's a stronger one. And also, again, you're protecting yourself. If we make a graphic out of this, now you get to have McVay and Bieniemy and D'Amico Ryan's on the same coaching staff.
Pretty sick.
Mean, you know, like, for everybody who's going to look at the graphics, you're going to be like, oh, that's
pretty cool.
Was Trevor asleep at the wheel? Like, how was he? How did he?
They didn't realize the rules of the show.
Right. How did he realize this? Was Trevor drunk? For my last pick of the draft here, the only spot that I have left is the quarterback position. And I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes there. Thought about it with Aaron Rodgers. Thought that was a decent debate there. Couldn't think about it with Tom Brady because I obviously had the Buccaneers already picked for the linebacker spot, but there were too many good quarterbacks to pick from there. That was also a reason why I could not pick Eric Bieniemy as my offensive coordinator, because I wanted to keep that open for Patrick Mahomes. He was still the guy to pick for me. In a scenario where obviously Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal back-to-back MVP quarterback, one of the best pure throwers to ever play the game of football. But in my mind, getting Patrick Mahomes to play in an offense with Miami's pass catchers.
Well, we've seen it, and it's really good.
with Christian McCaffrey behind the Cleveland Browns offensive line.
That's nuts.
Is objectively hilarious. I could actually take Kellen Moore off of play calling, and I'm gonna do it. Like, I'll do
it. Voting.
Yeah, just put like a Madden, just put the like
NFL
a Madden playbook screen in front of him.
The bomb. What's the other?
That's the
like,
only one
two.
I know.
That's the only one anyone runs.
I know.
That's what you're gonna run. It's gonna work.
Just the bomb play, and then you're just like jump. Like frog splashing the ball carrier after the play for like 5 minutes, because you could just keep hammering it and it'll just keep going until the next play until you stop. So I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback room, which means as we recap this draft here, we come to a close. My draft: Chiefs at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes; Panthers at running back, Christian McCaffrey; Miami's pass catching group, which is Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki, Durham Smythe, Adam Shaheen, if you want to throw him in there as well. I got the Browns offensive line, Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, Jedrick Wills, just a fantastic offensive line there. Steelers defensive line, headlined by TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. Bucks linebackers with Levante David and with Devin White. I got the Saints corners, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, and Chauncey Garner-Johnson getting to play in the slot. And then Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, the safety group on the back end. All coached by the GOAT himself, Bill Belichick. God, I should have reunited him and Brady now that I'm thinking about it. Bill Belichick.
That would have been kind of a cool twist.
Bill Belichick at head coach, Kellen Moore at offensive coordinator, then Raheem Morris at DC.
It's a fun group. All right. So they will be matched up against Josh Allen at quarterback, where you're going to see that matchup for a long time. Those two
are
Mahomes.
We are
Josh
indeed.
Allen at quarterback took the Bills quarterback room. Running backs took the Colts room, led by Jonathan Taylor. Pass catchers, the Bengals room of 1,000-yard pairing, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and almost 1,000 yards this year with those two, which is insane, and Tyler Boyd. Patriots offensive line. Defensive line, Chargers with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. Linebacker, Cowboys, just for Micah Parsons. Cornerback,
Strictly Micah Parsons,
thank you very much. Cornerback with the Packers, Jair Alexander, Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, really like that trio. Safety, Ravens have a trio at safety, not a duo.
obviously, big signing of Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, who's been there, and Kyle Hamilton, a first-round pick from this draft. My coaching staff is led by head coach Sean McVay, offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans. Before we end this exercise, Trevor, were there any groups? Go, jump in. What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say, last time Bill Belichick and Sean McVay faced off in a big game, McVay scored 3 points. I just wanted to make sure that everybody remembered that that was
with
the
Jared
case.
Goff as his quarterback.
When you guys vote in this poll, which I know our audio producers are going to put up, I just want you to remember that 3 points.
Yep, with Jared Goff.
Was there any groups that you really wanted to take, but there was one weak link and you couldn't do it? Because that happened to me like a handful of times.
I thought a lot about the Eagles pass catchers, right? Because you get Dallas Goedert, you get A.J. Brown, you get Devontae Smith.
That's a really good group. You get Jalen Reagor? No, I'm just kidding.
So, well, that's honestly like it kind of like
no, but that's a good group.
Heavy after that. And I thought about the Eagles pass catching group versus Miami's pass catching group. And if you go blow for blow at the top, you can convince yourself that it's pretty easy for maybe the first 2-3 picks. But then it just heavily favors Miami, I think, once you get into the depth. So I think that that one is one that kind of – one that I looked at heavily that I didn't end up picking. The Niners defensive line, you get Arik Armstead, you get Nick Bosa. I didn't really have much after that.
It's a lot of rotational guys.
Right.
It works for them in real football games, but this is not what that's about.
Raiders, of course, you have Max Crosby. You've got Chandler Jones now, but who's playing on the interior? That was another one for me that I kind of struggled with. And look, if push came to shove, you mentioned the Raiders as well with pass catchers. They've got Devontae Adams. They have Darren Waller.
Hunter Renfrow.
Obviously, Hunter Renfrow, a reliable option there. It's not bad. I like Miami's better.
Sure.
I think that there's more weaponry and it's deeper at that point.
Well, that's exactly what I'm asking. Like the Raiders to me were missing that outside guy across from Devontae. Like Renfrow in the slot, amazing. Devontae, amazing. Waller, amazing. You could argue those three guys at a time are at the top of their position group. Like there's times where Waller looks like the best tight end in football. Devontae Adams looks like the best outside receiver in football. And Hunter Renfrow looks like the best slot in football.
Right.
That's crazy. But they just don't have that guy across from Devontae where I wanted to take them over the Bengals.
So they were close. They were on the list.
They were close.
They were definitely on the list. For the safety pairing, wanted to shout out. I already shouted out the Chargers with Nasir Adderley and Derwin James. Derwin James not getting picked feels criminal. But the Saints have it's Tyrann Mathieu and who else? Who else is right there?
Marcus May.
No, didn't Marcus May leave?
No, they signed Marcus May.
No, he is still there. Right, you are right. So it's Tyrann Mathieu
and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, if you can count him as a third safety.
Sort of, right. It's a weird,
it's right, it's strange. And they lost Marcus Williams to the Ravens.
Yep, and then the Tennessee Titans at safety because Kevin Byard is so good.
Yes.
And they also have Amani Hooker there, who I think is really good.
Yes,
You've got the Bengals safety group, which has Jesse Bates, an unbelievable playmaking safety, and then also Von Bell. So
it's a good tandem.
Those are a couple that I had on my list that we didn't really get to.
So one I wanted to take.
Yeah. Who you got?
Was the Chiefs offensive line. Now, I really wanted a coach from them more, Reed or Bieniemy.
Yeah.
And I was okay with the Patriots offensive line. Their right tackle situation, and Chiefs fans listening will probably have a better picture of what they think is going to play out. You read it, and you're like, Orlando Brown at left tackle, awesome. Joe Tooney, maybe the best guard in football at left guard, awesome.
Right.
Creed Humphrey, top three center in football already, awesome. Trey Smith was so good as a sixth-round rookie.
Yeah, you're right.
Then you just have right tackle.
Yeah, but still, I feel like they were definitely overlooked.
I really did give them a look where I was like, I'm going to take this group if I don't get the Browns.
Maybe I'm just taking myself. Maybe I'm just talking to myself.
I just couldn't do it with the right tackle situation.
That'll play
itself out.
Very strong group.
Those are the big ones for me, honestly. Those are the really big ones where I was like, it just feels like they're a player away from being the group. But this was fun, man. This one, there was a lot of thought put into this, quite clearly.
Good exercise. I enjoyed this exercise. Obviously, I'm still sweating, even though I put the AC down 5 degrees, because that's what happens when you're on the clock. Guys, we know that you're going to have plenty of thoughts on who we should have picked. where you would have picked a certain position group early in the draft, later in the draft, what you would have done with coaches. We want to hear it all. Let us know on Twitter. Hit up Connor Rogers. Hit up myself.
I thought you were just going to say me.
Yeah. Send all your hate to Connor. Send all your praise to me. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can use the comment section on YouTube. I always try to read and respond to as many as possible the day that we put this podcast up. So yeah, just let us know. Let us know if we're sleeping too hard on a certain position group. We want to hear it. And either we'll be like, yep, my bad. Or we'll be like, nope, you're done. Yeah.
Give us the old "what I sleep on" meme versus what you sleep on with the bed, and then it's going to be a picture of like Aaron Rodgers, and it's like
that's a good throwback.
Right, we get it.
That's a good throwback meme. We got another episode coming up for you later this week. It's back to summer scouting. Not quite done with offense. We've got the offensive line. We're gonna try to knock out the entire offensive line. So we're gonna talk about some of our favorite offensive tackle prospects, and then also some of our interior offensive lineman prospects. And that'll finish out offense for summer scouting before we jump over to the defensive side of things. But a lot of big boys to get to, Connor, but a lot of people are very excited about this episode because they would tell you that football starts up front. So this is what really matters. You're talking about offensive tackles, which is absolutely a premium position that can sometimes define the top 10, the top 15, the top 20 of draft classes. And then of course, interior offensive linemen. Yeah, it doesn't get drafted as high, but you're seeing major difference makers getting picked in the later groups that are, it's the difference between 7 wins sometimes and 11 wins and making the playoffs and playing really well when you have a solid interior offensive line. So man, this episode, very, very, very important coming up with offensive linemen. I'm excited to see how this class is going to shape up for 2023.
Yeah, me too. And you know, maybe we'll rank it to keep the show kind of consistent just based on talent. Like a center could be the number one offensive lineman just based on talent, but we'll do our top fives as we always do. You know, it's summer.
We might be able to run through two separate top fives.
Yeah, maybe we do. Maybe we do interior
offensive tackles and then interior
and offensive tackles. But you know, it's, you also don't want to get too early into the game of, oh, I think this guy's got to play guard at the next level. So
it's a fair
way to do it. Maybe we'll do the two top fives. Keep sending us your questions in the reviews. We are banking them. If you think we're missing them, we're not. We're saving some of the favorite ones we have.
Yep.
Maybe we'll have some extra time after that show. If not, we'll be back for the end of the holiday weekend on the 4th of July with another draft special show as well. So we will not be missing anything.
No, it's going to be hype. It's going to be hype. I'm excited for the next couple of shows that we got here. We got a good schedule for you guys. We will see you on Thursday. I'm Trevor. That's Connor. This has been the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast.